Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house.
Yes.
And to be joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. This morning I want to say this.
Yes.
He said that he will bring you out of the dunghill.
Yes.
Out of your mess and set you in a place.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that right now that God is uplifting us in the spite of the storms and the flood.
Yes.
God is getting ready to carry us to another level.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, go through it this morning.
Yes.
Because God is a healer.
Yes.
And a deliverer.
Thank you, Lord.
And David said that he lifted me up because he's over everything.
Yes.
He looked down and pick you up where you can't get up.
Yes, Lord.
The doctor say you can't get well, but God said different. He said, I control the universe.
Yes.
And if God controls the universe today, and I want you to know that he will lift you up and carry you to a safe place.
Yes.
He will carry you to a place of rest.
Yes, Lord.
Where you won't have to deal with the day-to-day operation.
Thank you, Lord.
You won't have to deal with ups and downs because he said that I am God of Abraham and the God of Jacob.
Yes.
And I want you to know whatever you might be going through,
yes,
get ready for a miracle breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready for right now where you set your present state going to change in 2014. 2015, 2016, get ready for a breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready to name your healing.
Yeah.
Get ready to name your deliverer, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Get ready to say all is well.
Yeah.
I need somebody to say to me, Bishop, all is well. As I go through things, I can see things are working for you because you know that God said hi and look low.
Yeah.
And he's bringing you up out the dunghill of dust and mess. He bring you out of all this confusion, witchcraft, sickness, and all the things that's going on around the world.
Yeah.
So God is about to lift you up this morning. It remind me of the prodigal son as he went out and rotted living and spent all his money.
Yes.
He come to himself.
Yes, Lord.
Found himself in a hog pen.
Yes.
And looked around and said, wait a minute. I come to myself.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I know I don't supposed to be in this condition. I want to tell you, you don't supposed to be in the condition you're in.
Yes.
When you come to yourself,
thank
you're going to raise up and say, enough is enough.
Yes.
Or y'all ain't going to pray with me.
Thank
but
you.
As we go on today, he looked around and said, I'm in the hog pen with the hogs.
Yes.
Let me paraphrase a little bit for you. You are there hungry.
Thanks.
You're there, ain't got no job.
Thanks.
You're there where all kind of rotten living is going on, and you accepting it. I want you to come to your senses this evening. I want you to come to your senses this morning.
Yes.
I want you to come to your senses. I need to get up and get out and go to the Creator.
Yes.
Who made me.
Thank you.
I'm talking about Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And when this young man came to himself, he dusted himself off and pulled what little rags he had up. So I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Thank you, Lord.
To my father.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going back.
Yeah.
To where.
Sometimes you have to make your mind up that you're going to change. I got Mary here. Mary's going to read the 23rd number Psalm. But tonight, this is our Bible class tonight. I want you to get your Bibles together because I want to share some things with you tonight. I want you to get ready. Don't be afraid of what you're going to hear. I was talking to Dr. Ray Hagen, and he said, Bishop, let me come on and let me bring these people up to the speed of what's going on in the world. Some of you are lost. Now, I want to tell you, this is Bible class, Wednesday night, Bible class night. We're on 5 nights a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 11 to 12, from 9 to 10. I want to pray specially for you tonight, but I want you to come into the wisdom of God, and I want you to shake off all that evil that you got in your mind. Stop the killing, save the babies. But I want to say this, and how did we get at this level? How did we get here where we hate each other? Lies. The lies have been taught to us, and our ancestors taught it to us. So we got to come out of the lies. And he said, the lie I've been told. Oh, Santa Claus coming, Easter, but them lies. Oh, it's all right to tell the kids Santa Claus coming. It's not. That's a lie. Oh, it's the Easter Bunny left the egg. That's a lie. Prayer God come. Stop lying. You've been lied to. You lied to your children. They lied to their children. So we got here on a lie. Even brought him from slavery and said we wasn't a man. We wasn't on a lie. But you got to understand how the lie stayed so long with us and how we perpetrated this lie and how this lie still, you know, you get mad. And, you know, the man told me, he said, bitch, don't talk about politics in the Bible. If you want to get somebody mad, tell them about the truth. A handful of faith, but a bucket full of truth. Let me say that again. You got faith. A handful of faith. But if I give you the bucket of truth, you get mad. But tonight, I want to give you a bucket of truth. It ain't got nothing to do with white and black. It got to do how to control your body, your mind. When the doctor say you got cancer, you get crazy. When the doctor say you can't get well, you go crazy. Controlling the mind, okay? So I want you to get ready tonight to listen to how you've been tricked, hoodwinked. Dr. King said it, Malcolm said it, Marcus Garvey said it, and even Robert Kennedy said it. He's white. And I want to tell you tonight, get your pencil and paper by the phone or by the radio, and I want you to write down these scriptures, and I want you to take this in for yourself. Let me say it again. A handful of faith tonight, but I'm going to give you a bucket of truth. Good God Almighty. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you know one time you would go to jail if you read the Bible when you was a slave? You couldn't read this Bible. But once you got educated, they let you read it to continue to brainwash you. I know y'all ain't listening to me because some of you caught up in something else. But the truth must come out. Glory, hallelujah. And when the truth come out, men and women go to the next level. Mary, I'm praying. I want to let y'all know. I'm praying for those that are sick and those that are caught up. Some of your heart is you don't want to change. I think I had shared the saying last week. I had shared the saying, how great God, she sang something else. Mary Hawkins, will you read that scripture for us tonight on our Bible class night? And
yes.
Do you have your Bible with you? Make sure that the people, okay, I'm telling the people that's there, y'all get your Bible and your pencil and paper where you can write these notes down. First, I want to say, if you got a need, you plant a seed and you get a harvest. So the widow woman had two hoe cakes. She obeyed the prophet and gave it to him. She got a harvest. Some of you need to plant a seed because you want to grow. And when you plant, you go, okay, Mary, you can go on and read.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I just read the 3/3 number Psalm.
Thank you for that, Mary. That's Mary Hawkins in Detroit. And she's a prophet. You know, I have to let her know that she got the prophetic gift. And her mama left that with her. See, some of you got gifts and don't know. But this is what I want to say tonight before we get started in our service. This is the Bible class night, study night. And anytime you go into study, you're supposed to learn something. You're supposed to come out with some truth. And once you come out with the truth, you can have a handful of faith and a bucket full of truth. And tonight, I'm going to give you a bucket full of truth, and you can erase that handful of faith. See, now I want to tell you this hymn. I want you tonight, as I speak, to go to my website, The Seed of Abraham, and plant a seed in the ministry. You don't have to, but I want you to get an overflow blessing. Mary prophesied to Brother Dale. She told Brother Dale, you're going to be blessed. And Brother Dale asked me today, how is Prophet Mary doing? Because what she told me came true. I said, the woman is gifted from God. When you're gifted from God, you ain't got to put on no show. Just be yourself. We got some people try to be more than they ought to be. So they don't know nothing because they can't do nothing, okay? And I want to thank the young lady down in Mississippi said she was blind in one eye. And God healed her eye back. See, some of y'all don't believe that. But God is a healer. And I like to always go to God, the Supreme, the God of the wind, the God of the water, the God of the universe, the Almighty God. I like to go to him. I want you to get ready tonight for God to, for your eyes to open up. Get your pencil and your paper. I told you a handful of faith ain't about nothing. But a bucket for the truth. And you know, my grandmother told me, as I grow, and as you grow, Now, you said, oh, lady asked me, how do I send you some money, Bishop? Go to Cash Out and hit Bishop TT and put go to Cash Out and put the money sign Bishop 3Ts and it'll go to me. Just pull it up. Or else go to the seed of Abraham, Josiah.com, go to my PayPal. Now, I'm asking you that if you want to be free economically, I want you to plant that seed. I ain't got to tell you what to do. God going to tell you what to do. The spirit of the ancestor, because you ain't getting no information with what I'm giving. You ain't getting nowhere. And by the way, in Chicago, they got all them people running for mayor. Ain't nobody talk about recreation. The only somebody I see that doing something is Willie Wilson. Willie Wilson paid for gas all over this city, and he went to Pete and paid for groceries for 3 months when it was bad. He was feeding people. He was telling people, come to the gas and get gas. Now, all them other people, ain't none of them did nothing. Willie Wilson did that. And if you understand, when somebody do something for you, you do it back for them, okay? So if he planted the seed and you received the reward, you should automatically God tell you what to do. Well, he might not can talk, but he's feeding people. He might not can talk, but he's giving gas to people when they ain't got no gas. All them other people running, ain't none of them did nothing but said, vote for me. That's the truth. I told you a handful of faith and a bucket of truth. And I want you to put that down, a handful of faith, but a bucket of truth. When you got the bucket of truth, you got to go with truth. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is life, but a bucket of truth and a handful of faith. And we as black people, we as white people, we've been going with a hand full of faith. But tonight, I want to give you the bucket of truth. Psalm 71, Psalm 23, what Mary read. Now, I want to tell you, I got a book, Sherry, called The Miracles of Jesus. You need to send for it. Every one of you need to have the book, Pearl, in your library. It's called The Miracles of Jesus. You need to have that book. I wrote the book. And you need to have that book. Because if you order the book for me, I'm going to put a personal prophecy in there for you because it's designed for you. Now, I want to tell you this before we get started tonight. Get your pencil and paper because some things going to blow you out the water. You say, don't cut it off. Listen, because you got a hand full of faith. I'm going to give you a bucket of truth tonight. That's right, a bucket of truth. And I want you to get ready to receive the bucket of truth where you'll be at the next level. And I would talk to Dr. Hagin. Dr. Hagin said, Bishop, let me talk to these people. Let me give these people some of this truth. Because their circle is limited. And if I tell you back to slavery and tell you that you got the Bible, but it wasn't why you get killed if you read the Bible, if you was black. Y'all believe what I'm saying? So that's some of the stuff that I'm going to give you tonight, and you get ready and listen to it because it's almost for you, okay?
It seems to me that there's been a drastic decline in their church membership. Now, here's the deep thing, y'all. Each one of them had pretty much the same concern or complaint as the others. The three major reasons that I've heard from these ministers is people don't love the Lord like they used to. That's the first most common complaint I've heard. And the first person I heard that from was my mom. The second most common complaint that I've heard was people are unstable. People are weak-minded. Or won't commit themselves. And the third most common complaint is there's a spirit of disobedience in the church today. Folks don't want to obey their leader. Now, there's no doubt that there is a major decline in church attendance. It's happening everywhere. At one point, I took it personal, and I thought, you know, it's in my ministry. But I found out that it wasn't just my ministry. It's happening everywhere. But I submit to you and those who are watching me on television, pastors, teachers, religious leaders, that the major reason why people are becoming disgruntled, discontented, dissatisfied, displeased, unhappy, irritated, and angry with their church is because people are finding out that the hope that they have been given is not real. It's a false hope. You see, y'all, nothing is more devastating to a person than to find out that they've been lied to. Can I get a witness? Nothing is more devastating to a person than to realize that they've been misled, that they've been deceived, or that they've been manipulated. That's devastating. So this is not about the fact that people don't love God like they used to. I found out that people do love God. This is not about people being unstable and weak-minded, and I do agree that there are some unstable people. You look at some people, you'll see that they don't stay on the same job long. They move from one house to another every 3 to 4 months. Some people are just unstable. So don't expect stability when they walk into a church. But this is not about people not wanting to obey leadership. This is about people who have given their life and their substance to something that they are finding out does not stand up to the test of scrutiny. Doesn't stand up to critical analysis. Doesn't stand up to the challenge. Doesn't stand up to the undeniable evidence that is now coming to light. You see, in the past, the masses were kept in the dark about what they had been made to believe. In fact, it wasn't until the mid to late 16th century when the incredible Bible was finally made available for the common man, as they say, to read. We need to ask ourselves, why did the Bishop of London send out an order that all copies of the Bible were to be confiscated? Why did he do that? Why did they send out an order that the clergy is to burn all of the Bible? Why did they issue such an order? In fact, if anyone was caught with a Bible, the penalty was death by burning. Now, that's some deep stuff, y'all. Late 16th century, if you got caught with a Bible, you could be burned at the stake. Now, of course, I'm talking about the Christian church. And when I say the Christian church, I mean the Roman church. You see, the truth is the clergy realized that if the people had access to the book and they could read it for themselves, that the program of control would come to an end. No longer could they control the people. The income of the church would crumble. The power of the church would crumble. So therefore, let's return the ability to control the minds of the masses back to the pulpit. Y'all following this? You see, if people's eyes came open, they would begin to challenge the authority of the church. In other words, the veneration of canonized saints would be challenged. The so-called Virgin Mary would be challenged. And if you challenge her virgin birth, then it stands to follow then that you're going to challenge the credibility of this so-called virgin-born baby. They could not allow that. Y'all check this out. In 1515, what year did I just say? One more time, what year? In 1515, Pope Leo X, write it down, don't take my word for it. Pope Leo X, in the year 1515, said these words. I quote him, "What prophet hath not this fable of Christ brought to us?" In the book. Now, allow me to transliterate that. Here's what the man said. Look at how much money we've made from this tale about a figure that we created called Jesus Christ. Here we see one of the most powerful popes in the history of the Christian church confessing the truth. You see, the problem is that the masses of the people know the truth that Pope Leo X knew. The Christian faith was, I say it again, was the most influential belief system in the Western world for more than 1,000 years. But guess what, y'all? It ain't as healthy today as it was 100 years ago. And among black African people, it ain't as healthy today as it was 10 years ago. The reason for this is people are coming to realize the same truth that Pope Leo X spoke about. And thanks to liberation ministries and teachers, black African people are coming face to face with these hard, cold facts at a speed that has to be reckoned with. God has revealed to me that the light of right knowledge, I didn't say the light of knowledge, the light of right knowledge is getting brighter and brighter. And the level of faith that supposedly had in this fabrication is diminishing. Because each day the light of right knowledge gets brighter and brighter. This is why the demise of the Christian faith is taking place. You see, one of our out-of-state study group coordinators called me the other day and explained to me that people keep expressing their dissatisfaction and how unhappy they are in their church. We heard testimony this morning of a sister who said, I stopped going to church. You see, people, the program ain't working. No. Our coordinator told me that even though people have said they don't want to go to their church, the dilemma is they keep holding on to Jesus. So I explained to her, I said, the reason for this, my sister, is because people have become bored with the powerless rituals that are practiced in church. Believe it or not, y'all, folks are getting tired of that piece of little piece of cracker. Not really understanding what it's about. People are getting tired of drinking a little tiny glass of Welch's grape juice. Not really understanding what it's about. You see, we have a generation of thinking people coming along. I explained to her, even though people are bored with the rituals, had one brother say to me, at least they can warm the water up. You're going to baptize me? Why you got to freeze me to death? Here we are in the 21st century, and it's still got ice cold water and old-fashioned baptistry. People are tired. They're thinking now, what is that supposed to do? Deep when you go in the water, a crack at it. And you come out the water, a crack at it. What meaning is there to getting wet and your life has not changed? People are tired of these powerless rituals. And then what's real deep is when people come to find out that the rituals are not based in what is real. It's not based in what is true. Listen, what does a person do when they find out that communion, or what they call the Lord's Supper, was not instituted by a so-called Jesus? What does a person do when they come to understand that this ritual was actually in honor of a white pharaoh called the Ptolemy the Fifth? Epiphanes, nickname Eucharistos. See, I wasn't taught that growing up. I was taught that Jesus instituted this, but when I did my homework, good Lord have mercy, come to find out that almost 2 centuries B.C., they had a coronation ceremony for a European pharaoh known as Ptolemy the Fifth. Epiphanes, and his nickname was Eucharistos, and that's where they got the word Eucharist from. At his coronation, they instituted a ritual of eating flesh and drinking blood. And the Roman church carried that same ritual out in what is known today as the Mass or communion. Don't take my word for it. Look up the Rosetta Stone. Write it down. The Rosetta Stone. Go see your homework. All of it's right there on the Rosetta Stone. What does a person do when they come to realize that Barabbas and Jesus was the same person? Oh, let me blow your mind. Even though it's a fictionalized story, they taught us that the crowd stood outside and said, give us Barabbas. But they didn't tell you that, Barabbas' first name was Jesus. Don't do your homework. Oh, it's a mind blow up. And then when you do an epistemological study of the word Barabbas, you see that it is two words, not one. It's the word Bar-Abba. They turned it around and made it Barabbas. In Jewish custom, the prefix Bar means the son of. Abba means father. His first name was Jesus, or Jesus. When you put it together, you got Jesus, the son of the father. What do you do when you find out that it's one and the same? So the people stood outside and said, give us Jesus, the son of the father. What does it do to a person when they come to realize that the so-called first man on this planet, who we've been all taught to call Adam, never historically existed? That messes up everything. When the beginning of your history starts with a fabricated individual, then you come to realize that the whole system you believed in is fabricated and it's a lie. What does it do to a person when they come to find out that the word Adam comes from the Hebrew word Adama, which simply means mankind in Hebrew, not in Swahili? To add insult to injury, what does it do to a person when they find out that what they thought was a unique, original, fired writing is really nothing more than stolen, copied, plagiarized story from much earlier accounts of other ancient cultural stories by thousands of years? I don't know if y'all remember hearing not too very long ago about this young man who broke in the Catholic Church, not far from here. It was on the news. He broke in the Catholic Church. Now, that's the only reason why I made the news. If he had broken in a Baptist church, he wouldn't have made the news. If he had broken in a Presbyterian church, he wouldn't have made the news. But he broke in a Catholic church. And it made the news. And it said that he took the Virgin Mary down the stairs and defaced Jesus. Now, all that gold, he didn't steal nothing. He didn't do any of the damage inside that Catholic church. The only thing he did is he broke into the church and threw the Virgin Mary down the stairs and defaced Jesus. Now, see, you can't help. See, y'all, being a psychologist, wonder why he did that. Maybe the demise of the Christian faith had already taken place in his mind. Maybe he came to realize that everything he was raised to believe was a lie. Who knows? He might have been an altar boy. He might have had to learn the catechism and go through all that training just to come to be. Oh, he might even listen to On One Accord on Sunday morning. I don't know. Something made him angry. We need to ask ourselves the questions. Just what is the Christian faith?
Well,
let me define for you what the Christian, now I'm getting ready, listen y'all, I'm getting ready to say some stuff that even though many of you have been liberated, it's still going to hurt when I say it. You know why? Because like me, many of you, so much of your life was into this program. And the ramifications of such an attachment is still there for many of us. But as my brother said so well on the radio this morning, it's hard to compare a bucket of truth with a handful of faith. I like that. When you got a bucket of truth and a handful of faith, you better hold on to that bucket of truth. Just what is the Christian faith? The Christian faith is the belief in, now before I go any further, please understand, you believe in something because you don't know any better. Let me restate it for you another way. When knowledge is present, faith ain't necessary. You don't need to believe that I'm holding a cloth in my hand. You know I'm holding a cloth in my hand. But now as deep as when I show you my hand and say, there's a cloth in my hand, just believe it. And you're looking at my hand and you don't see no cloth, but yet you believe it anyway and you're willing to die for the fact that I'm holding a cloth in my hand and you're looking at it and it ain't there.
All right.
Oh, that's where we were. The Christian faith is the belief in, check this out, a set of doctrines or teachings that were determined and decreed by bishops of the Roman Catholic Church. Not one of them was black. You need to understand this. They decreed these doctrines and teachings in a multiplicity of what is called ecumenical council. In fact, y'all, there were 21 of them. Starting in the year 325 A.D., the Council of Nicaea, under the rule of Emperor Constantine in the 4th century, and from 325 A.D. to the year 1962, a period of 1,637 years, the Roman Catholic Church been meeting, changing their teachings and their doctrines over and over, trying to readjust them to fit because they knew they were alive. Look at the person next to you and say, the lie can't stand for so long. Sooner or later, the truth is going to come out. From the first council of Nicaea, year 325 A.D., to what is called Vatican II, or the second Vatican Council in 1962, Roman Catholic Church has been adjusting the doctrines that they made up. However, despite the hundreds of canonical declarations and doctrines established by the Roman Catholic Church, now hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. However, despite all that, the Christian faith has but a point. And that is something called the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Later for all of the doctrines that they made up. Later for baptism. Later for communion. Later for holy unction. Later for all that. There's this one doctrine that hangs by thread. It's called the resurrection of a so-called Jesus Christ. How many of y'all got your Bibles? I want you to read something with me. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the 14th verse. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the 14th verse. One more time. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the 14th verse. You have it, say, I'll say. Somebody who reads nice and loud. Who got a good loud voice? Oh, go ahead, Karen, since you're standing right here. What does it say? And if big mistake already. And if Christ be not risen, what does it say? Our preaching is in vain. And your faith is also vain. That's all that verse says. What a thing to say. If he did get up. If he had rose from the grave. Let's put it this way. If I knew that somebody rose from the grave, I wouldn't be saying, if he didn't get up. I'd be saying, he got up, believe it or not. The question, the challenge here is, and if Christ be not risen, let me transliterate this for you. Transliterated, it would say it this way. If Jesus Christ died and never rose to life, then Christianity is a fraud. All right. That's painful, isn't it? If he died and did not get up, Christianity is a fraud. You know why? Because the entire Christian faith hangs by that one string. That's what that verse says. If he did not get up from the dead, our preaching is in vain and your belief is in vain. Look at the person next to you and repeat after me and say, I know it's a pain. And if not nice, they have to hurt you like this. But how in the world can somebody who never existed get up on the grave? I'm sorry, people. I don't mean to be insensitive. But I got to tell you like it is. We're talking about story that was fabricated by white folks, by the Roman Catholic Church. nation. And guess what, y'all? Y'all ever see the cartoons when they're hanging on by thread, and then the thread or the rope starts unraveling? You know, and it's about to pop at any moment. That's what we are here. The very thing I just described to you, y'all know this, and they put it in a movie called The Body. We showed it here. The Body. The story is a movie about the fact that the resurrection never took place. And the Roman Catholic Church was prepared to take military action to keep that lie covered up. Go get the movie. One of the tragedies in the movie was one of the scholars of the Roman Catholic Church, and this evidence, undeniable evidence, was presented to him. He couldn't take it. And he went up on the roof of the temple and stood there and made the sign of distress. And threw himself off the roof and committed suicide, because he came to realize that if Christ be not risen, then my whole program is in vain. This is why churches are trying. Look, this is why there's the divide of the Christian faith, because people are starting to come to the realization of the truth that is a fabrication. Y'all, I'm amazed at what's coming out of my own mouth. Because 15 years ago, I would have punched myself in the face to say something like what I'm saying right now. But when you come to the knowledge of the truth, when you got a bucket full of truth, you can't compare that to a handful of faith. In 1985, 18 years ago, 30 theological scholars participated in the first session of what was called the Jesus Seminar. Some of you might remember reading about this. Even to today, this organization called the Jesus Seminar meets twice a year. And the reason why they meet is to debate over the authenticity of the biblical passage. At the close of each debate, these scholars, now let me show you how they do this, so that no one will know who voted a certain way. They do much like what they do in our side of order. They vote by colored marbles. And they use these colored marbles to vote on the authenticity of Jesus' words for deeds. Now, please understand, the purpose of the Jesus Seminar was to separate historical facts from fiction and mythology. The chairman of the seminar stated in their opening session, and I quote him, and again, you don't have to take my word for this, go to the internet, type in the Jesus Seminar. It'll all come up, read it for yourself. The chairman said these words, and I quote him, "We are about to embark on a momentous enterprise." Y'all hear this. He said, "We are going to inquire simply, rigorously, after the voice of Jesus, after what he really said." He goes on to say, "In this process, we will be asking a question that borders the sacred, that may even be blasphemy for many in our society." He continues by saying, as a consequence, as a consequence, the course we shall follow may prove hazardous. Look at the first message and say, they realize this is dangerous. He's going to say, the course we shall follow may prove hazardous. He's going to say, we may well provoke hostility. But we will step out in spite of the danger because we are professional. And because the issue of Jesus must be dealt with. Since that meeting in 1985, 18 years ago, this group of 30 theological scholars, I didn't say 30 Baptist preachers who ain't get out of high school. I didn't say that. I didn't say 30 folks who just got up and say, the Lord called me to preach. 30 theological scholars of the Jesus Seminar have concluded, and I quote, that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the virgin birth, all the miracles found in the gospel accounts, and over 80% of the teachings normally attributed to Jesus are all false. Ain't nobody attacking them. They write them. Black man come along and try to tell his own people the truth. And his own people want to destroy him. It goes on to say, all of these biblical records have been rejected because these scholars have determined that they are merely legendary creations with no historical foundation. Look at the person next to you and say, well, people don't have facts. They must create myths to supplement the facts of their existence. We are at a critical and sensitive point in history, brothers and sisters. The lie has landed. Truth has risen. And people are about to lose their minds. The fire has landed because it can't fly around forever. The truth has risen because truth pressed to the ground will rise again. And people are about to lose their minds because they don't know what else to do. Some will say, well, the Bible said this was going to happen. Bible said there's going to be a great falling away. Well, brothers and sisters, I do agree.
Okay.
Yes, an apostasy is taking place. So that's a good thing. Don't follow what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with the word apostasy. For you see, the word apostasy simply means to abandon or turn away from what you used to believe. Oh, shut down. Therefore, in context of the definition of the word apostasy,